back to the show where two men are a little sick of Advent this year. How are you doing, Rob?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm a little bit sick of Advent. Not our Advent.
No, our Advent I'm quite enjoying, but it sounds like you're having a bit of a crap time with Advent.
That stupid flipping Pokemon calendar.
How's the cardboard chair?
Yeah. You know what he got the other day?
What did he get the other day?
Stickers. Two stickers.
Oh, not that's even well like worth the £25.
Yeah, not even like a decent amount. Two stickers of stockings.
Can I just point out, if you don't watch it, Ashens and Dan from Nerd Cubed, every year for the past, I think it's 6 years they've done it now, do an advent calendar challenge on their YouTube channel.
Oh, I've never watched it. I've seen like they're doing it.
It's amazing. And this year, Dan's got the Barbie calendar.
Okay.
Which didn't have any numbers on any doors.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
It's a really bad start. And the only Fools and Horses one. Mm-hmm. None of the characters have faces. And all he has got is like a couple of characters, a couple of pop-up cardboard things, and stickers. It's an Only Fools and Horses calendar. Why the hell are you giving adult stickers?
Why is anyone buying an Only Fools and Horses calendar?
That's true, but you press the button and it plays the theme tune and it makes Del Boy and Rodney dance around. So that was quite cool, but the rest of it's been terrible.
Well, it's like a whole like thing, like a big... I'd have to look at it. It sounds like it's a whole kind of...
Yeah, watch the episodes, and honest, it's so funny. And then, what's Ashen's ones? He's got some sort of Poundland Action Man one, which is quite cool. You get lots of army men and guns and stuff for them. And then he's got a German science experiment one, which has just been a right lemon. So like day one was a piece of red plastic you can look through. So when you write with a red pen, you can't see it or something like that. Anyway.
Dumb. And they picked them themselves or did the other person pick it for them?
I think Dan buys them and then they choose which ones they're going to have on day one.
And then they kind of open it together and say which is the best for that day.
Yeah. And granted, we think our advent was hard work. Their episodes are like between 10 and 15 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
And they've got to do 25 of those.
I think we hit 6 minutes so far on one of them.
7 minutes was the longest, I think. And that might have been today's one, actually, with advent calendars.
Yeah.
Sorry, not today's one, because this is Monday, and that would have been Thursday when it came out.
I like doing the Monday talking, the other Monday.
Yeah, it just breaks me. It's like time continuation loophole problems.
Timey-wimey.
Timey-wimey, bendy-wendy things. I'm only a bit sick of Advent because I don't actually have an Advent calendar.
I don't have one either.
I wanted one.
Oh. Well, T's
got... That'll be next year.
T's got two because his grandma got him one as
nice.
Well.
Nice.
And the Maltesers one. He just doesn't like chocolate.
Well, you see, our T, loves chocolate. We're giving it to him in the evening so he doesn't get used to having chocolate in the morning. Kay has hers in the morning, which is fine. She's old enough to understand this is just for Christmas and it doesn't happen every day afterwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just doesn't grasp it yet. So he gets his in the evening.
If you did it for him, it would turn into a habit. On that 26th of December, he'd be like, chocolate, chocolate.
We're already worried that's probably going to happen anyway, but
we're
doing
the evening instead.
In the evening, it's as you say, it's not too bad. We can always give him pudding, and that will kind of make up for it. But that's kind of where we are with Advent at the moment. Oh my God! We're bad parents. Day one of Advent was literally the next day, so it was 30th of November,
mm-hmm.
and Jem phoned me on the way home from the office. We haven't done her advent calendar or his advent calendar, as Jem's mum had bought these two lovely wooden advent mm-hmm. calendars that you can fill up yourself.
Yeah.
In fact, we said about it in one of the advent episodes. Thursday's advent episode, we say about it. And we hadn't bought anything for him, so I literally rushed into Tesco. And then it just gets worse and worse, because then we come back, Jem got them out the loft, and it's like, they're not painted.
She had to paint them.
So she's quickly painted them and ordered number stickers that came the next day to stick on the front of them. And then it's about midnight and I'm thinking, right, I've just finished whatever I was having. I think I was doing some work, actually. And it's like, right, I need to go and put the chocolate in there. And T's one was easy.
Mm-hmm.
He got half of a bit of Terry's chocolate orange.
Quarter of a Freddo.
A magic star and a big chocolate button. That's all. And he's really happy with that. That fine. Probably a bit more than we should do, but it's Christmas. I don't care. He's happy with it. Then it came to Kay's stuff, and she said, I'd like all the Kinder stuff I like. So we got these Kinder Duplo bars, which is just really nice. Yeah, yeah. Then just the Kinder Block bars, which she likes. Then these little Kinder Brown eggs that are Christmas, apparently. Mm-hmm. And some Kinder Hippos.
What are the little wafers? Have you seen those? The wafers? Oh, maybe that's what you said first and I didn't know what it was. They look like rectangles. I'm doing actions for all the audio listeners.
Of course,
because
everyone can see that.
Like little rectangle wafers that are Kinder. They're tasty and they're individually wrapped too.
I don't think I've seen those. No, the Duplo ones, they look like a tree that's been cut down. They've got a bark effect and then they've got wafer inside. They're delicious. They really are nice. Got there. The only thing that fit in the drawer were the eggs. The hippo just about fit in if I got the right angle and squidged him a bit.
Yeah.
But anything that's bar related has been cut in half with scissors and stuck in the drawer. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake. It could not get any worse this day now. We've been so unprepared for it.
I don't think that makes you a bad parent. I think it's making you a good parent that you've gone and done all that stuff.
Well, at least
you went out
it.
To do it. You know, a bad parent would have gone like, oh, fuck it.
Thing is, we normally really ahead of the game, and this Christmas we just don't feel like we are. We were planning on taking Kay to Tesco so she could choose things to go in there. Yeah. They were going to decorate them themselves. Well, T wasn't ever going to decorate it himself. It would have just been a mess, but Kay would have done hers. And, oh dear, yeah, it just all kind of, it's gone really quick this year. I don't know what you think. This year just seems to...
Feels like it's flying by. I feel massively unprepared.
I'm really unprepared. I'm normally done by now on my Christmas shopping, and I'm not. I've not got anything.
Yeah, I've not got anything. The problem I've got is it's Miranda's birthday on the 12th of December. So I have to that deal with first.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I can't really do things for the Christmas part of it until I've got that bit out of the way, and then I'm in a mad rush.
And then Kay's birthday is in January.
Yeah.
So we're now thinking... God, we've got to prepare her party. So we're rushing around trying to book that now because it's like she wants this specific party and it's not just over a month away. And it's like, crap, we should have booked this ages ago.
Yeah.
It's weird. Something about this year, it's just all crashed together. But anyway, welcome back to the show. That's the first thoughts we've had on Advent. It's a festive episode because we are getting so close to Christmas. The next episode you'll hear will be the Untitled Trek Show, mm-hmm. which is a little bit of a live mishmash of us watching Conspiracy together. Oh my God, so much went wrong.
Yeah, it was a
it was one of the most stressful recordings we have ever done.
Yeah.
But it was fun. In the end, when it was going, it was fun. Just don't expect it to be the best audio quality because we realised we've made some mistakes there that we could fix in the future.
It's just because we were rushing, we hadn't done it before, we didn't do any tests, we just kind of just thought, oh, sod it, we'll just go for it, which is kind of how we do a lot of stuff. We just kind of go for it and see what works, don't we? Which I quite
like. Very much so.
Well, I like doing that. This in particular was a bit just, we weren't sure.
No, so we're sorry about that, but then what's really exciting is the Christmas episode. Now, we're going to be releasing it early because obviously Christmas Day is a Monday and you're not going to want to listen to us on a Monday. No. So we're going to roll it back 3 days. So we're going to release it on the Friday before Christmas instead. So that gives you the Friday and the weekend to enjoy it. And we've got some great plan. We're not going to go into it. Rob has organised some sort of interview for us.
Yep.
Which I've got no idea.
It's a super special secret. Yep.
Kind of confused and concerned about what we're going to be interviewing
I've
on our Christmas special.
No one, not even the people on the Discord, our friends on the Discord, know.
Yeah,
no,
so that's going to be an odd one. I've got no idea what's coming on that, but we've got a few other things planned for that episode as well. So if you're going to join us for that, please, please do. We'll have Do You Remember? We're going to have a quick taste test. We're going to very quickly do the kids show, but all I know is we've got to base most of this episode on this day trip we've got to go on and this interview we're having. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And I think the only other exciting news is somehow we made the top 100 indie comedy podcasts for the UK.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
On Good Pods, I'm not quite sure how, but thank you very much to everyone that listens.
Yeah, that was such a good email. So the first thing I normally do is like look at the email notifications or whatever. As soon as I woke up, I was like, oh, look at my phone, I'm like, oh,
but the
that's
funny thing
really
is,
cool.
I've forgotten I'd even signed us up for Good Pods to claim the podcast.
Oh.
So if I hadn't done that, we'd never have known.
Yeah.
which is a shame because that sort of thing I think is really cool to know. So
yeah.
Awesome. I'm really, really proud of us for that.
About it, weren't we?
Yeah, just a little bit. I think all day I was buzzing.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we get on?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. Rob. Rob the Builder. Rob the Builder. Can we fix it? Rob the Builder. No, probably not, you cunt.
Yes,
it's... Go on. Has it been a week where we don't get chaos?
No.
Oh, for God's sake.
Loads of stuff's happened. Oh, my gosh. Everyone. Everything's happened. So...
How? How can you have so many
it's
issues
all going wrong at
with
the
a
end.
House that was already built?
It's going wrong at the end. So, we... I can't remember exactly how much I talked about a fortnight ago on the last episode.
Basically, last episode, you told us about how your roof needs redoing on one side.
So, if what's actually happened is we have to have basically the entire roof retiled and refelted.
At least it's not the beams.
No. Until they take all the felt off and tell me it is the beams. But as far as I can tell from the inside, as somebody who isn't a roofer, but I can tell when wood is rotted, it's fine. So that has turned into, as what's also happens to be, forgive me because I don't remember who it was that said on the Pint of Cthulhu's Discord, they've got the exact same bad news within about the same week that I've had it.
I think the heavy rains caused a lot of people to suddenly get that issue.
It might be that the heavy rain... People probably had these issues for ages.
Yeah, but that's what's made it prevalent. It's come out because...
Yeah, because of
the
that.
Heavy rain.
Yeah. So I am now having to have a new roof, which is a very frustrating scenario to have.
As I noticed all the scaffolding's up now...
That's the scaffolding for the original roof repairs before they found these roof repairs. So next door and us had a leak at the chimney that we both knew about. So we went together and got the scaffolding done together and the same roofer.
Okay.
So the price got shared.
I was wondering why it was extended onto their property.
Yeah, so the price got shared and it worked out really well. But it was when they were up there doing mine. When they found all the other problems, which is why the scaffolding's still there.
That
and
makes
the scaffolders
sense.
Are coming out again tomorrow, as of recording this, to put all the rest of the scaffolding up because it's got to go all round.
Well, yeah, it will do.
And then next week, so after this episode comes out, after this episode comes out, so this episode comes out on the Monday, and then the Wednesday is when the roofers are coming to start taking my roof down and putting the new one on.
Bloody hell. Because, go on, if that's not the worst of it, go on, what else has
happened?
Well,
that is the worst.
Okay, well, what else
that's
has happened?
That's the financially crippling destruction that has happened to me. The other one was more of a just general frustration that you guys who watched live, we're at my house.
Yeah.
So we were in the bit that just got built. And you can see the TV and you can see that unit underneath.
Yeah.
That was what the source of my last frustration was.
Oh, God.
So all of those cabinets we chose, John and I, the builder, from Howden's, because they're basically the kitchen cabinets that would go above a fridge. So if you ever have your fridge and you have the cabinets above your fridge.
Yeah, I know what you
that's
mean.
That's what they are. But they're like the extra size ones. So
yeah, but that you could stick a cabinet is a cabinet. It could go anywhere, couldn't it?
It can go anywhere. The reason is... because if you want to put equipment behind, you need like 320 mil.
Right, okay.
Really.
And that's depth for ventilation, cables and
just
everything
else. Just
the
depth of units.
Right, okay.
Of equipment, like an amplifier needs like that minimum. And you'd be surprised about PS5, how deep they are.
Oh, yeah, no.
I can barely get the HDMI lead in the back of it.
Yeah.
In that hand, those things. Anyway. The same person at Howden's who ordered the kitchen and messed us around with the kitchen, if anyone wants to go all the way back to all the things that had to get sent back, for some reason this Howden's asked her to order these cupboards. Well, she didn't order them.
Oh, winner.
Straight up just didn't do it. So
did she hold her hand up to it?
Eventually. Yes.
Oh, she did.
Eventually, I think it came out that she just didn't. Well, she can't hide not ordering something because the order's not there.
Yeah,
not
the
placed.
Order number's there, and the people that you're speaking to will say, well, there is no order.
My builder went on the. So he was going to help me on the Saturday to do it because we're doing it together. Also takes the price down because I'm doing the labor myself.
Of course.
And he's my friend anyway, so. So he went to the Thursday. He just went there to pick it up. Nothing was there. And he's like, well, where is it? And then I'm looking through and she'd literally hadn't ordered. She'd ordered it like 2 days before he was meant to pick it up.
Oh,
and,
that's
and
ridiculous.
And also didn't put on it when we wanted it by. So with Howdens, you can actually say, oh, I need it by this date. And they expedite things and get things places and will go to other places. And if they can, they get it all together.
Right.
But if you don't, you just get it when you get it. She just didn't put any details in.
Oh, that's just ridiculous.
So she ordered it basically a week and a half late.
Yeah.
And then didn't say when we needed it by.
Oh, well, that's just stupid.
Yeah, so it wasn't there. So then obviously we had to wait another week. And also, the frustrating thing with that was it was getting difficult to get John. So John very kindly came on a Sunday. So
well,
it was
yeah,
the Sunday
he,
to do
he's
it.
A builder. He's got other jobs to do.
Yeah, he's got loads. Really busy. So he came on the Sunday. I'd already brought the worktops from a company, so I had these two huge oak worktops like sitting 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Still in their plastic. I hadn't taken them out so I can oil them because we were cutting them all down and stuff. So it's like these oak worktops just sweating away in the plastic in the back room. It's like not good for them.
No.
So yeah, so it was all a big
oh my God.
But that's done. And it's turned out really well.
It does. It does look
but
really nice.
Just massive frustration of just relying on other people for things can be quite difficult.
Well, especially when they fuck you about like that. Jeez.
Yeah, I know this feels like very kind of first world problemsy, but, you know.
Well, like we said in the last time we spoke about it, this is what happens when you own a house and you try and do anything nice to that house.
Yeah.
It comes back and bites you in the ass almost every time.
Yeah,
you don't expect it to, but there will always be something. There'll be that little something you think, right, I'm gonna do that. It's gonna be really well, like you said, you came into my house today and you went, that's a big puddle, isn't it?
Yeah,
we had a brick paved kind of driveway mm-hmm. that had started to collapse, and it was collapsed before we moved in. So we just paid our builder friend to come, and he's concreted it, and he said, oh, I'd rather tile it. And we said, well, we can't really afford that because it was double the price if he was going to do the brickwork and tile it all properly. So he said, well, that's fine. I don't like doing concrete, but I will. But he knows why we did it and why we wanted it, because it was a big dent in the middle of the pavement and it was a giant puddle forming, which meant anyone that parked the car, they would get out of the driver's seat straight into the puddle.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we now get. We now get a puddle next to the front door instead because it just runs off the concrete onto there because he didn't do what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
Which is slightly angle it off to the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to sort that out at some point. So
that's a summer job.
And yeah, and to be fair, I'm not entirely blaming him because he said very clearly, I don't like doing the concrete. I'd rather do it this way because I know I can do it. So we should have listened.
Mm.
We should have listened. It's our fault for saying, no, can you do it like this? But it is just that thing. You do something nice for your house, you will find something that will bite you in the ass.
Yeah.
Right, enough negativity.
Right, let's
because
have something
that's not
fun.
Even festive. In fact, to be honest, I don't even think any much of what we're talking about in game-wise is going to be festive either. So let's just get the games out of the way, and then we'll go back to talking about happy festive things.
Yes. There's a magical place we're on our way there with toys in the millions all under one roof. It's called Toys R Us.
Remember the shit that I bought? Remember? Did you give it a thought? Remember? It's probably tat, that's all. Woo! I still don't know if we need to keep that Do You Remember song, or should we get it properly recorded?
No, maybe put a poll on one day, but I like it.
It's homespun, to say the least. Right, so the score is 8 to you, 10 to me.
Yeah, double figures.
And I still haven't updated the webpage, sorry.
We will get there, we're busy.
We will get there. It's just been a really hectic few weeks.
You'll understand.
We will do it, I promise. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a chance here. Mm-hmm. Next episode, if it stays 8-10 or it goes to 9-11,
if there's
a 2-point gap by the end of this game, I will say on the Christmas episode, I will let you draw by making it a 2-point special. Nice. So if you bring something next week and I don't remember it, well, next episode, sorry, and I don't remember it, you will get 2 points.
Okay.
But that could backfire on you if you agree, because that could also mean I get 2 points.
Do I have to decide now?
You could wait to see what the end score is and see what you want to say.
I'll wait till after.
Because you might be able to draw it next week by just having 1 point.
Yeah.
I don't know what you brought with you.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Shall we find out what I brought with me?
Right, well, you went first last time with Copter.
Oh, I did go first last time.
You did go first last time. I remembered for once. I still say it's next week's episode, but I can remember something else.
Go on.
Okay, mine has a story behind
it. I remember it.
Fuck off. Now, I'm going to take you back to the release date of a game. And we met me, you, Telfer, Ben, Bensley, both Bensleys actually. And we met at game in St. Albans.
Oh, in St. Albans. Okay, not the Milton Keynes where I nearly
died. At midnight.
Okay, yep.
And I literally pre-ordered that day because I'd missed out on it. Can you remember what the game was?
I want to say it was probably a GTA.
Nope.
Because that's the kind of things we did do.
It wasn't a GTA.
Is it Halo?
It wasn't Halo.
I remember you being
there. It was Modern Warfare 2.
Ah, Modern Warfare 2,
because you came home with me and I drove like a maniac in my Fiesta to drop you off because we were going to play a couple of rounds that night. We were going to literally get home and put it in.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the story that I need you to remember. So we all met there.
Yep.
And it was a fun time. Do you remember we all came out of game and literally legged it to the car park?
I remember us getting a wiggle on.
Yeah, so close your eyes. I'm going to take you there. It's midnight. We'd just come out of game. We'd all got our copies of the game. I think Ben had actually fucked off literally the second he got his ahead of us.
Yeah,
because by the time we'd all got home, he was already online.
Yeah.
And we all pegged it to the car. Can you remember anything happening to something that was on my person as we ran to the car and me shouting, "Oh, fuck!"
Did you drop your phone or something? Your wallet?
Yeah, I did. Well done. Literally that day, I had bought a new phone. I bought it from CEX when they used to be vaguely reasonable prices. And it was one of the first Android handsets. Do you remember when handsets, A, were cool, but this style... So when Android really first appeared and we got these really cool kind of designs, and what I've given Rob here is the exact... It's not the exact phone because I sold that years ago. This was
is this like, a custom paint job?
No, it's starting to go nasty because it's made out of that horrible tacky plastic. I bought that on eBay for a fiver. It works if I plug it into charge, but the battery's dead.
I remember very specifically this exact phone.
Yeah, that is the HTC, and it has a... I think it was the HTC Hero, and it had the chin, and it came in brown.
So it's got a wicked little BlackBerry-esque...
yeah, it had a scroll ball.
Scroll ball, and it's got, just to the right of that, it's got like a search and skip back kind of looking button. Oh, God,
yeah, it had physical buttons as well, and then you had this really tiny, tiny touch screen.
On the kind of curve of that chin, there's 4 hard buttons, and then a quite big screen, actually, for its time.
For its time, it was quite big, but... compared to what we have nowadays, it's tiny. But yeah, there you go. My Do You Remember was a long-winded story, but do you remember this handset?
I do remember this handset, yeah. Yeah, I remember. I kind of remember the advert, to be fair.
Oh, really?
I remember the advert. I kind of remember. It was the classic phone spinning.
It was.
And I want to say there was paint splashing behind it, or
possibly because HTC were really into kind of their vivid colours and stuff like that. But so was Sony at the time. But I just remember it because I loved the idea of that chin.
Yeah.
I'd heard about this Android operating system that was meant to be open source. You were going to be able to do so much with it. And then there was all the customizations back in the day when widgets were actually really exciting and skins were exciting, a bit like Winamp skinning. And I should have saved that one because Winamp would have been a great Do You Remember? Yeah. And then, yeah, had the scroll ball, and that just sold it for me. I think at the time I was using Windows Mobile 6.5, maybe. Windows Mobile 7.
I think I probably had a Nokia or something at the time. I'm trying to remember what I would have had. Certainly would have had a phone.
Now, the question is, though, have you thought about this?
I haven't thought about this in the past year. Fucking ages. What do I think about this? TJ.
Well, and that's the point of the game. I've got to choose things that are obscure, otherwise I'll never get a point.
Yeah, oh, you get a point.
I get a point.
That's very disappointing for
me. So that makes it a 3-point lead.
He didn't give
now.
Me a chance, did he, everyone? He didn't kind of give me a chance.
Oh, I didn't think about this. That's a 3-point lead I've got now. Mm. So if you don't get a point, there is no way you can even draw.
No, I've taken a risk.
Oh, there's
a big risk that you will not know what this is. And when I showed Miranda, she did, but she had to watch it for a little. I had to skip ahead for her to then go, now I know what it is.
Okay, so that worries me because there's a few things it could be. Things like Weeble and Bob and Pipe.
No.
Or my anus is bleeding.
No, it's nothing like that. It's actually beautifully innocent.
It's innocent, geez.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, I've got WhatsApp running on the Mac.
Share this video.
Ooh.
It is a video.
I'll make sure I insert it in.
Right now.
Oh, yeah, I know these. Just from the screenshot, I know these.
This is Francis the Firefly. Now, who out there remembers Francis the Firefly? Francis the Firefly.
Firefly.
Is a fire awareness firefly from the Fire Brigade in 1990. Now, what specifically happens in this video is a cockroach.
Wait for it. They've made it ginger. I'm really upset by that.
A cockroach convinces the firefly to play with a match.
Cocky was a very naughty young cockroach, always in trouble. He knew why Francis was upset and thought he would trick her into joining him in one of his rotten games. Come with me, Francis, he said. I'll show you how to light up the night. Francis couldn't resist. Cocky took Francis back to his hiding place and pulled back a leaf. There, to her surprise, was a box of matches. My mummy left these on the table at home last week and still hasn't noticed they're missing. With these, you can really burn brightly.
The match burns their wings, they set on fire, they fall to the ground, and they become homeless. It's quite brutal and sad.
It is. I remember this.
I can't remember at the top of my head now if Francis gets his wings back at the end. I think he does. But there's a point in time, you know, it's narrated the whole time as well by, I had his name a second ago. I'm going to get his name. You'll know him if I get his name back. Richard Briers.
Oh, yes. Okay, that makes sense.
He
did always do everything.
Yeah. Now, I brought this because I call her Nana Manchester because my family's actually from Manchester. I don't have an accent because I'm from born and raised in St Albans, but all my mum's side are from Manchester. That my Nana recorded this. And every time we went round, probably three or four times a year, I'd make her put it on and I'd watch it constantly.
Oh, yeah, look, Francis does get his wings back and he's doing education to the children that look like they're covered in smoke and they're burn victims.
They do look like dirty smoke burn victims.
That's terrible. I do remember this. I haven't thought about it for ages, so you do score a point.
Yes, I get that. Yes.
You do score a point,
still
which
in
means
it, everyone. I'm still in
you
it.
Are in there. You know, this is the era of... I don't think it comes up in the nostalgic kids show Knockout. The Lost Toys.
Yeah, I remember Lost Toys.
Do you remember the Christmas ones? There was very specific Christmas episodes of it as well, where they get kicked out and they decide to leave the child that they're from. And I think it was Bob Hoskins was the bear?
Not sure. sure.
And it's Joanne Lumley is the doll, and I think it's Bob Hoskins is the bear. And there's like three specific ones. There's a Christmas one. There's one that they get lost at an airport when they're going on holiday. Really, really good show. But this is that's the era of this.
Yeah.
But it is brutal. I do remember that. I'm going to watch this again because, yeah, in fact, how long is it? It's 4 minutes. If this episode is short, I will put the entirety of that clip at the end.
Yeah.
And we'll just stick it in there. Yeah. Sod copyright.
As we found out with Star Trek.
Oh, geez, yeah.
We've been flaunting the copyright rules.
We have been. So, okay, Rob, you now need to give me an answer then. It's now 9:11. Oh, it's now 11:09.
just clock that as soon as you
God
did.
God damn it. It's now 11:09 to me.
It's 9:11.
And you have a decision to make. Do you want to gamble and potentially draw next week?
Yeah.
Or if you don't, you'll only lose by 1 point potentially instead.
I could still lose by two because we could both get a point and I'm still two behind.
That's very true.
So,
but you could also lose and I could win and then you'd be 4 points.
I would rather lose by...
a massive gap instead.
Four. Losing by four is no different than losing by two or one. I've still lost. I've got to go for it. I've got nothing to lose. I've got nothing to lose. You've got everything to lose by having the draw come your way.
Yeah, fair enough.
But if you're up for it, I'm going to take it.
You're going to take it. Good boy. okay, you've heard from himself. We are going to gamble in the Christmas special that Do You Remember is going to be worth 2 points.
Yeah, nothing says Christmas like gambling.
Now, we've had some guests send Do You Remembers in, haven't we?
Yeah.
Now, we had one from our friend Mark, SideQuest TGC. Is his for the Christmas episode?
It's for
episode?
Christmas.
Oh, his is for the Christmas episode. Is it? Yeah. Oh, fine.
Have you
okay.
listened to it? I
haven't listened to it because I thought we'd save it. Okay, well, I've got one from the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's no Prison Pigeon. We haven't seen Prison Pigeon for a little while.
That's a good point, so actually. We haven't
These just turned up. I've not heard anything or seen anything. Parole officers, not...
I just assumed he was banged up again.
Nope. He's out, but parole officer hasn't
Yeah, but
even...
is he out legally?
Well, I don't know. I know that his parole officer did call me and says that asked me, have I seen him? And I was truthful. I haven't seen him. I have no idea.
Fine. Okay. That means I'm going to have to make sure my security is actually turned on nowadays, rather than just scheduled and disabled because I'm sick of getting notifications on my phone. So
yeah,
I think we'll be turning that back on tonight then if we don't know where he is. But anyway, what did my wife send me? She sent me a song. And I'm just trying to find it here. Yeah, I've got
it.
Is it
right. Eamon?
It's not Eamon. It's not that big pile of shit. Hate him. Still hate that song. I still think the whole story behind him and Frankie was bullshit.
It's a load of tosh.
It's, yeah, more than that. Okay, the song she sent me was Mr. Wazzo.
Yep.
Flat Beat.
She doesn't get a point.
She doesn't get a point from me either because it's on my gym playlist.
Well, what's my private...
Oh, God, yes. Is
what
that
is
where
my
it's from?
Username?
Is that
on
from
everything?
Where it's from?
I'm Flat Rob because of Flat Eric.
Oh.
So my dad, well, when we were deciding, me and my dad, what my email address was going to be on Hotmail.
Yeah.
When Hotmail basically first come out.
Pikachu _127 yeah, at hotmail.com.
I was saying, I don't know what to pick. And he went, you love Flat Eric. I was like, yeah, I think. Yeah, and he's like, why don't you just change Eric to Rob? I went, okay. And that was
That's
it.
Not a bad shout.
Yeah, so every day I'm reminded of that song.
Well done, Daddy Car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think about it because it's on my gym playlist.
Yeah.
It's not a great song, but actually for the gym it's
not
too bad.
It's not a particularly brilliant song. I like the video though.
Yeah, the video's great. We're just sat here nodding now, by the way. Great.
And then
I
just started actually doing Temptation and not Flat.
Yeah. I can't get no. No, that's a completely different song again. Completely different. Oh, dear. Right.
You're singing, I can't get no satisfaction.
I can't get no sleep.
I can't get no sleep.
Can't
oh, yeah.
Get no sleep. Yeah. Oh, God, no. Oh, shut the fuck up, Tom.
Oh,
I know it's a festive episode, so let's keep the non-festive talk going. We're doing so good at being festive here, guys. With the Channel 84 Variety Nostalgic Kid Show Knockout.
Yay!
Otherwise known as the C84VNKSK.
There you go. Let's
it sounds even worse like that.
KSK, yes.
We are on Group M. We're actually powering through this now. We've only got a few groups left before we then go to the start into the quarterfinals or playoffs again.
Well, when we start returning back to
winners. It's actually going to get into some more interesting ones now.
Winners become losers.
Exactly. The winners become losers. So, Group M, we have Muppet Babies versus Round the Twist and Dexter's Lab versus Eerie Indiana. First of all, do you remember all four of those shows?
Yes.
We'll start with Muppet Babies versus Round the Twist then.
This is Battle of the Intros.
Muppet Babies, we do crack cocaine. Why do I always make songs about drugs?
Do you always do that, don't you? You do.
It's always about drugs, or if it's with K, it's always about pooing.
Whenever
it makes kids laugh, granted, but
whenever I do lyric changes, mine are generally about cocks. Maybe it says something about our psyches.
Yeah, I'm a horrible drug user, and do you want to be? Okay,
move along.
My wife does say you can be my husband.
Around the Twist.
Yeah, so you got Round the Twist. Have you ever felt like this? I have very vivid memories of Muppet Babies growing up. I used to love watching it. It was on a Saturday when I was really small. We didn't go to the shop with mum and dad because it would have been boring as hell. And we were small. That we needed someone to do activities with us, which just wasn't possible with parents running a shop. So we went to my nan's every Saturday and they'd bring us back in the afternoon to go home with mum and dad in the evening. So I remember we'd get up really early, get to mum and dad's, and to give you an idea how early, Muppet Babies was an early morning show, like 7 in the morning or 7:30.
It was.
And we were watching that at Nan and Grandpa's.
Yeah.
So I remember going in there, getting to eat toast that we'd cooked on their open fire with a toasting fork and doing things like that, lots of butter on it, and then just sitting back and watching Muppet Babies. So I've got very, very fond memories of it. The theme tune is a right banger.
Yeah.
And the idea of it as well, the fact that they just like, Jim Henson went, screw it, we're going to use George Lucas clips for Star Wars in it and all that sort of stuff, was a brilliant idea for me.
It was a good show.
It was a good show. The modern one is nowhere near as good.
Most computer graphics are modern.
Exactly, which ruins it to start with. But we've watched a few. T's been quite interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not terrible. They ruined the intro. They've killed the music.
Right.
So, yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on Muppet Babies. What are your memories of it?
As with you, if I got up early, because I wasn't going anywhere, it's like I'd get up early, put it on.
Yeah.
And there it was. And it'd be on. I mean, they did also repeat it later.
Yeah, yeah, it got repeated a fair few
times.
But
yeah, it was. Well, I mean, it came out in 86. So I wasn't turning it on when I was one. But yeah, I think I probably have fonder memories of it now than thinking, yeah, Muppet Babies is on. But certainly I would have been put in front of it and not hated it. Didn't hate it at all.
Fine. So I guess that then brings us to Round the Twist.
I've got very fond memories of Round the Twist.
See, I used to watch Round the Twist. I used to love watching it. I'm not sure if it's better memories of Muppet Babies versus Round the Twist. So for me, I'm going to have to start thinking, which was the better show?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to avoid doing what my feelings are towards the memories of the show. Because obviously, I'm going to have more happier memories of watching Muppet Babies because of my nan and grandpa.
That's right.
Than I am of the show. Whereas Round the Twist, we were older, probably primary school at that point. It was more interesting because it was weird, whereas at the age we were watching Muppet Babies, it wouldn't have been any interest at all.
Yeah.
So it's quite a hard choice for me on this one.
I really enjoyed Round the Twist. Loved the intro. Always just turn the volume up when the intro for Round the Twist was on. Certain episodes kind of saying, I remember there being one with funny mushrooms in the ground.
Yeah.
It
was weird and wonderful, wasn't
it?
It was weird and wonderful. It had a great theme tune, as you said. It's one of the first times that I recognised it wasn't English. It was Australian. Which, obviously, anyone that watches anything BBC-based for kids, you'll realise that actually the BBC buying a hell of a lot of their shows from Australia. Yeah. You look at the modern times, Bluey. But when we were growing up, we had Ram the Twist, was out of Australia. Mm-hmm. You had Escape from Jupiter, which was out of Australia again. And there were a whole host of them. They all seemed to be Australian-based. The Boy from Andromeda, which I doubt you'd remember, that was Australian. In fact, that may have been New Zealand.
I recognise the name of that, you know.
It was a alien crashes on Earth, and he's looking for basically this pyramid thing. Kids find the pyramid thing, but there is also a monster that's causing a volcano to erupt that is after the pyramid thing, and it's the boy from Andromeda. It was his job to guard the pyramid from this monster thing, but that's what's causing the volcano. And I remember it scared the shit out of me. It was a, so I think it was a 5 or 4 part series on CBBC. And the thing that really, it took me ages to find it, but the all I could remember was in these final scenes, this monster thing was invisible, but it could make itself, it was a bit like Predator, it could make itself visible or invisible. But I remember there was this bit where they discovered it couldn't see through steam, and it was a really important key point that they were at this place that was making loads of steam so they could escape it.
Mm.
And that's all that I had, and it finally found out what it was. But yeah, yet another one. I think it was New Zealand, funny enough, that one. I don't think that was Aussie.
Now, the listeners won't remember this because it wasn't on air.
Oh, and Neighbours.
Again, a very, very long time ago, before we were actually, maybe before we had actually started this a year ago.
Yeah.
I asked you to help me find the name of a TV show.
Oh, yes, yes.
Now, was that Australian too?
What was the show again?
The Kids in a Coma. He falls out of a tree and he's in a coma, and then he's living a whole fantasy life in his coma.
I think that was Aussie as well, yeah.
Yeah. Again, I've instantly forgotten the name of it, but you did find the name of it once upon a time.
Yeah, I got good at finding shows eventually. Yeah.
That's one for anybody who wants to write to me on Twitter or Discord.
There was another one that I found out recently that I remember, and all I could remember of it was a Channel 4 show, and the only episode I remember of it was she goes into the neighbour's garage and she ends up getting her skin dyed blue because she, I think, falls in like a bucket full of this blue, well, I guess it was like a caravan toilet or something, you know, that cleaning stuff they have it, and she was dyed blue, and it's like, it took me ages to find it, and it was a show called Ramona.
I kind of recognise that name.
I bet you if I show you the clip of it, you'd recognise it.
Yeah.
But no one ever remembers Ramona. but anyway, back to what we were talking about. So it's Muppet Babies versus Round the Twist. If I'm going by quality of show, Jim Henson's stuff was always far superior. You had the Muppet Show, you had Fraggle Rock. Then he went down this route of doing cartoon and went Muppet Babies. And I'll be honest, being an adult right now, I would err towards Fraggle Rock and the Muppet Show rather than Muppet Babies.
Yep.
Whereas with Round the Twist, I don't think I can find a fault with it. Yep. It was weird. The storylines were always good. They lived in a weird-ass lighthouse, which I always thought was cool.
Yep.
And then as an adult, I think if I'm going to sit down and watch one of them, I'd probably quite like to sit down and watch a handful of episodes from Round the Twist.
Yep.
Whereas with Muppet Babies, I think I'd say I'll watch one or two, but that's probably my filling for it right now.
I am in 100% agreement. I would definitely be picking Round the Twist.
Okay, well, that's...
There's not much in it.
There isn't much in
that
it.
That is what I would
And if
be
I
picking.
Went with personal feelings based on what the shows bring to me, I'd go with Muppet Babies every time. But if we're just going by what we think is a good show, and if we were exactly the same age when we were watching them and we could make those decisions then, the better show's Round the Twist.
Yeah, yeah.
I just about, anyway.
Yeah.
The public agree with us.
Hooray.
I didn't write down vote numbers, annoyingly, but only 17% with Muppet Babies, 83% went with Round the Twist.
I think it just shows it was a good show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that the biggest one-sided vote that feels like?
No. And we'll talk about that now, because it's Dexter's Lab versus Erie, Indiana.
My name is Marshall Teller. Not long ago, I was living in New Jersey, just across the river from New York City. It was crowded, polluted, and full of crime. I loved it. But my parents wanted a better life for my sister and me. So we moved to a place so wholesome, so squeaky clean, you could only find it on TV. Unfortunately, nothing could be further from the truth. Sure, my new hometown looks normal enough, but look again. What's wrong with this picture? The American dream come true, right? Wrong. Nobody believes me, but this is the center of weirdness for the entire planet.
Thank you, little paper boy.
Erie, Indiana. My home, sweet home.
What are your memories of these?
Well, I did have to look up Erie, Indiana, because I didn't recognise the name.
Not many people do, but as soon as you
but
see
as
pictures of it...
As soon as I saw the pictures, like, of course I remember
it was like
program.
Goosebumps meets Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes.
And it was kind of thrown all together, and then just a bit of Round of the Twist was even in it,
sort
of thing.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
It only got one or two seasons, I think. And it was just really weird. It was... Oh, I can't even think... My name is whatever it is, and I live on a street, and... I'm a paperboy and Elvis is on my route, and you'd got Elvis outside. And there were all sorts of things. He was there with Marshall. I want to say his name was Marshall.
Yeah.
Or was that the other character,
his best friend? I've got it. There's Dash.
Oh, that was his friend, I think. So, yeah, it was Marshall and Dash. So Dash was the younger gingerhead kid. Simon. Okay, there you go. Marshall was from something, I'm sure, but probably another show. But, yeah, so every episode... was a weird tale that apparently took place in this eerie Indiana place.
I'm just going to... Obviously, you guys won't be able to see it. This is the picture. The kid on the bike.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. That's the front cover of the DVD set I've got for it.
Great show. I'm going to be quick with Dexter's Lab. I don't like it. Didn't like it. I think I was too old for Dexter's Lab.
Really?
I feel like I didn't ever really like it. It's the same guys that did Powerpuff Girls did not like Powerpuff Girls.
But I think it was made for a different generation to us. Although I think it was actually made for our generation
now,
because they're older than you think, aren't they?
Is it also the same person that does Fairy Godparents?
Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah, is it called Fairly Odd Parents?
Yes, the Fairly Odd Parents.
That is top tier.
With Timmy.
Programs. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That is absolutely
is it
brilliant.
It's either Fairly or Fairy
Odd Parents. I
thought it
was Fairy Godparents.
No, Fairy Odd Parents.
It's the pun, isn't it? That's the point of the pun, isn't it? I think they might actually be remaking that.
They've done some new episodes.
I wonder
if it's
any good.
And there's a live action version.
Do you know if it's any good?
Not a clue.
Oh,
I'm going to say no.
Version, I feel...
The Fairly Odd Parents.
The Fairly Odd Parents.
That
reminds me of My Parents Were Aliens.
Yeah, that's another one from kind of
now,
later in
our era. Now,
would
that not have been a CITV show?
That was a CITV show.
But maybe later than Ben would have wanted for his book.
No, I don't know. It might turn up. I'm about a quarter of the way through at the moment because I've had much chance to sit down and read it yet. But
I wanted to order one that he had signed, but I think I might have missed it.
I'm sure we can organise it. I'm sure he'd oblige us.
I wanted him to write Art Attack in it.
Art Attack. Oh, fuck it.
That's what I want him to write in it.
Oh, right. So I didn't like Dexter's Lab. It had its moments, but I thought it was very much up there with things like Johnny Bravo, Powerpuff Girls,
as you
Johnny
say. Bravo.
And I just didn't get on with them.
Yeah.
A lot of people did, though. But you're right. Fairly Odd Parents with Timmy and all just the weird shit that went down. That was funny. And then I kind of linked that to things like Rocco's Modern Life as well.
Rocco's Modern Life.
Not so much with Doug and stuff, but yeah, it was...
When you get over to Rocco's Modern Life, I'm almost going over to Cat Dog.
I was trying to think of
really
another name.
Going
yeah,
over,
Cat Dog.
Yeah.
And Cow and Chicken.
Cow. Chicken!
But, Dexter's Lab just didn't swing it for me.
I didn't like it.
So we're going Erie, Indiana.
Oh, wicked.
Well, we've got to, because we both want Erie, Indiana.
Yeah.
Neither of us like Dexter's Lab. So us to say yeah, Dexter's Lab was one is a fucking stupid thing to do. However, are you ready for the numbers?
Go on.
100% went with Dexter's Lab.
No.
0% with Erie, Indiana.
Don't know how many people voted.
I don't know. I didn't write it down. I'd have to look it up. But you know what? I think it's mainly because, like you, how many people actually remember Erie, Indiana until they see a picture of it or they see that intro where he's doing the paper round and Elvis is on his paper round?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have forgotten. It's like the secret world of Alex Mack, whichever it is, where she gets run off the road by a toxic lorry and has the ability to turn into a giant puddle of water.
I wonder if they just didn't look it up.
Well, that's what I think. I think what I'll start doing when we get to the next phase of this, so the next rounds, when I put the polls up, I'm going to do them with pictures. I'll do a little picture for each time with a versus in the middle so people can see what it was.
You know, we were saying earlier about doing a more frequent video chat thing.
Yeah,
I would chat. Maybe we could put some of these on in the background.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, so do what we did
for
the trek. Dial
them up on YouTube and...
do like a watch along of these random things and just talk. And it doesn't have to go anywhere further than that. We have to record it. It could just be a live.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're moving away from Do You Remember? Basically, when we did the Star Trek live chat the other day, YouTube stopped streaming it because we hit a copyright violation, which is fine. I understand that. What annoyed me was they stopped the stream. What they should have done, in my opinion, was stop people connecting and viewing it, but left it streaming in the background. Because the first thing that came up this morning was YouTube Studio, copyright notification, please read. So I read that. And basically, it took me through to the site and said, right, we stopped your stream because of X, Y, Z. Here are your two options. It's only a warning, but if you do it again, we will do you a copyright strike. So it's fine, okay? It's only a warning. Don't have to worry. The two options they give you, though, was delete, get rid of, and that's it. Or I could launch a appeal.
Yeah.
What's the point in appealing when half the stream isn't recorded?
Yeah.
So there's no point in appealing it. Because people aren't going to see the rest of the stream now because you killed the stream completely.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we could upload it from Riverside, which is what we recorded it in, and put it onto YouTube. But if I do that now, we're going to get the copyright strike because I didn't appeal the first one.
Yeah, which we're not going to do.
No, so, yeah, we'll be a little bit more careful about it. But, yeah, I think we'll watch stuff in the background. We'll do it on Twitch and we'll do it on Riverside and people can join us however they want. Maybe just watch us on Twitch and we'll keep an eye on that chat, which would be easier. So, yeah, I like that idea. We'll watch some of these older shows maybe before we do them in the episode at the end of each month.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, go on then, as it's Christmas.
On Dixon's greatest ever Christmas deal. Like this superb 14-inch Seiso colour TV, only £159.99. This Commodore computer starter pack with data recorder and software now under £50. Save £50 on this Fisher Twin Deck MIDI Hi-Fi with graphic equalizer. Save £150 on this JVC portable video camera recorder. Dixon's deals, we guarantee you can't buy better.
So let's talk Christmas, and we're well aware, by the way, this episode is going to be shorter, hopefully shorter anyway, depending on how this section goes, shorter than any of the previous episodes, which is a good thing, because as I say, we've got a lot to prepare for the Christmas special, and also Untitled Trek, and getting Christmas underway. So if this is a bit shorter this week, this episode, fuck's sake, fine. But we are going festive now, and I'm going to actually make it a bit sad festive to start with.
We've ended up sad.
Yeah, but we've got to, because
we're meant to be a comedy podcast.
No, but we also do a bit of parenting, and I think the number of times we fuck up is what make people laugh anyway. But you know what? Kay came home from school. She looked me and Jem in the eye and said,
banana.
"Tell me if Santa is real." She's given up on Santa.
She just come out and said it. That's unbelievable.
She's just got to that age. She's been at a school where some of the kids are fairly nasty. Obviously, she's in a school with a good mix of communities involved. And there are a fair few children in her class in particular that don't celebrate anything over the Christmas period. So they've been saying to her for the past couple of years, Santa doesn't exist. And she's held on to it for so long. And I'm so proud that she got to 9 years old, but this was the last. This was it.
Yeah.
No more Christmas, no more Santa.
How did she take it? Because obviously you told her.
Well, we did, but Jem had already got a plan for it, which was really good, actually. We'd been thinking about how we were going to do it, because we thought we might get one more year, mm-hmm. but if we don't, we had to better have a plan. And the plan was really simple. She found a letter online, and we modified it. And the crux of it is, it says, you are going to be invited into a big secret now. And if you're ready to accept this secret, then carry on reading. But if you're not, stop.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to say, Santa isn't real in the way that you think he is real. He is real as in, he is something that makes people happy. The idea of him makes people happy. He keeps the spirit of Christmas alive in that way. But he's not a physical person. He isn't someone that actually comes to the house on Christmas Eve and delivers presents. He is an idea. And the most important thing is that you had fun. We had fun with doing it. But what's the most important thing now, you're in on that secret too. You have a baby brother who has 7 years at least ahead of him of believing in Santa Claus. So now you get to help me and Mummy keep that, well, lie going almost, but keeping the story, keeping Santa real for him.
Yeah.
And she loved it. She loves the idea now that she's going to be able to help us do his stocking at night and putting it in his bedroom to make it think Santa's come. Help us maybe set up fake CCTV footage, which is what I used to do for her, mm-hmm. showing Santa in the front room dropping off presents and stuff.
Oh, brilliant.
So she's really excited. She was a bit sad, but there were no tears. But she was more excited about being involved in it now, and also knowing that if there's smaller kids that she can say, of course he's real, and really get into it.
She can be in on it,
so she can be in on it and still be really festive and enjoy the magic of it without sitting there thinking, well, he's not real.
You've done a good job at taking it away from we've been lying to you for the last 9 years and turned it into something else.
Exactly. Because that was the really hard thing. But then, of course,
she goes, well, the Easter Bunny's real though, right?
So the Tooth Fairy's not real either.
She's been putting money under my pillow.
So it's like, yeah, we've been doing that as well. Okay. she was very accepting of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like, as soon as she realised Santa wasn't real, literally the next words out of mouth were, so the Tooth Fairy's not real either.
Yeah.
So where does the money come from? I sneak into your room and take the pillow without waking you up, holding my breath, bricking it, just to put a pound coin or whatever we bought. I think it was 50p under your pillow. Oh. Can I do that? You know what? How many times do I have to edit episodes now? Remove the fact that I'm putting names in. Yeah, so she wants to be involved doing it for tea when it's him.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And like, she's like, so the dummy fairy's not real either.
The dummy fairy.
I've heard people use the dummy fairy.
We did.
Dummy, yeah.
She, at 2 years old, knew about the dummy fairy and said, I want to give my dummies to the dummy fairy.
I've been starting to plant that. So he only likes one out of the five that he has. He only likes one, and he calls it his special dummy, because the other ones, they squeak when he sucks on them, I think. That's what he says. He says they make a noise. So I think it means they must have a hole in or something. And they, well,
just lob the pen across the room.
They must squeak. So I did say the other day, you know, the dummy fairy's might turn up and start taking some of these older dummies away for other little boys.
That's a good idea.
And I think that's what I'm going to get to, then end up with him only having the one left. And see if he's then ever going to... Because he only has it at night. But he's very upset, very obsessive over it. He wants that when he gets home. Or if he's at home and he gets upset by something, he's like, I want my dummy. And then I'll say to him, well, you know you can only have that at night. And he goes, I want to go to bed. And it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He's like, you're not going to bed. So I know you only want to go to bed because you want the dummy.
Have you ever considered trying to swap it out for a blanket or something?
I think with the way that he is, it would just move to being that. And then suddenly he'll need that the whole time.
Yeah, but that's not so much of a problem, is it? That's not going to do his teeth in eventually in the end and whatever else they threaten about using dummies.
I will have got rid of it, I think, within the next 6 months.
Oh, no.
Well, I think I would have got rid of it. It's just, it's very, you got with him, you've got to do everything slow, and yeah. he has to really drive it.
Yeah, you know. Fair enough. I understand that. Okay, but going back to Santa then, do you remember when you lost that magic, when you found out Santa wasn't real?
I don't remember a specific time, even remotely. But, I mean, I had an older sibling. I don't think she used to go around going, Santa's not real. I was never picked on by her. But I think it probably, they probably would have told us at the same time. So I imagine I didn't have as long.
Oh,
that's what I'm assuming. I can't imagine they were doing.
See, I've got two older brothers, and I think we all found out at different times. Now, some people say the way I found out was brutal. I don't think it was. And I don't remember crying at all. I just remember it just all being very logical and suddenly making sense. And from that point on, that was kind of it. In fact, I don't even remember saying to Mum and Dad that I don't believe in Santa anymore. But basically, the long short of it was, I remember laying in bed. I must have been 9 or 10. I think I managed to believe for quite a while in Santa. And I was laying in bed and I couldn't get to sleep, and it was Christmas Eve. And we'd done what we always did, as Mum always used to read us The Tale of Gloucester Round the Christmas Tree before going to bed. And then I just remember laying upstairs, Mum thinking I was asleep, and just hearing her tell my middle brother, right, he should be asleep by now, there's his stocking, go and put it by his bed. Mm-hmm. And then it just laying there, pretending to be asleep, heard him come in, put it down, look, it was full up. So it's like, okay, so Santa didn't do that then. So that means Mum does it. Kind of makes sense. And that was it.
I have a friend whose missus won't give the good presents to their little boys from Santa because she doesn't want the credit of the presents that they want to go to an imaginary person.
You know what?
So she gives the smaller stuff comes from Santa and the proper stuff comes from her.
You see, I come from a family where we got quite big stockings,
mm-hmm.
and all the stuff in there was fun stuff and good stuff, don't get me wrong, and enjoyable stuff. And then big main presents tended to be from Mum and Dad or family members. Mm-hmm. Whereas now I'm with Jem, it's a bit different because I grew up having stockings that were full. Jem's family have always done it that Santa brings one present and that's what the kid has asked for.
Yeah.
And then the stocking and all the other presents are from family and parents. Because somewhat the same thing, yeah. Why should the credit go towards an imaginary character that the kids are only behaving for just in case the presents don't turn up?
Yeah.
I kind of get that.
My parents used to just kind of put some of them that used to say Santa on them and just write Santa.
Nice.
And that were the ones from Father Christmas. And I don't know if they ever were selective. I'm a little bit selective, so stockings from Santa, and then I'll pick maybe two.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think I knowingly don't pick the main quote-unquote present, but I certainly just kind of go, this one and this one. They can be from Santa, and these are from us.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that working. As I say, Kay and Teal have the same now. It is just they get that one present that they ask for. So I've forgotten what Kay has asked for this year, even though she doesn't believe in him. Mm. She still will get a present from Sam because we got tea. So he's got to see that she's getting one. But she'll make the request. And that's the present she'll get from Santa. And then anything else is from us. She wants Bluey, the video game for Switch.
Wicked.
So I'm definitely getting that. It's got 4-player and you all play one member of the family.
It looks wicked.
And there's bits in it that you have to have the other members of the family to complete certain bits.
Oh, okay. So you have to have
friends. There's bits you've got to work together on, which I think is an amazing idea. So I'm really looking forward to that one. And then I've got to get Gem Super Mario Wonder.
Yep.
So it's quite an expensive Christmas already.
Yeah, T likes watching some videos of that because he can turn into an elephant.
He can turn into the elephant and the singing plants
little
look
plant
fun.
Little plant things, yeah.
So, yeah, that was kind of the sad bit of it for us. We had all the fun of up to 9 years old. Of, I used to say, right, I'm just going to the newsagent. And every year she never twigged. I went to the newsagent and then would be round at the back of the fence with a Bluetooth speaker or a set of bells jingling them. And Gem go, yeah, yes, yeah, Can you see that in the sky? Can you see that in the sky? It's Santa. It's Santa. Can you hear the bells?
And as you
and rushing outside to enjoy the fact that Santa was outside.
Yeah.
And then I'd come back from the news. Tom, you missed it again. Every time.
Brilliant. I like that. It's cute.
And I'm being really useless at this, at trying not to use their names.
I didn't even notice that time.
Yet again.
Didn't even notice that time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just if we ever moan about that or you hear weird noises in it, it's because Mia Rob has forgotten. Just as a matter of family safety, we don't want our kids' names bandied about so much. So that's why we refer to them as K or T. And whenever we fuck it up, I have to go back and edit and make sure it's not in there anymore.
Just don't go back to the Three Dads, One Pods episodes.
Oh, God, yeah. We weren't very good at that.
Yeah.
And I would have got told off for that. So, yeah. But yet she never twigged. I was always out and doing it. But then we did the... So what have you ever done anything for T to make him think that Santa's been in the house? Things
this
like the footprints
will be
on the floor.
The first year I'm going to think of something. He's not been aware of it at all because he's three now. He's just
I don't think about that.
We've got the stupid fucking elf.
Oh yeah, this is the first year we've not done the elf because Kay knows that because Santa's not real, the elf was done by us.
Yeah. God, don't do it for T if you can.
No, we will because Kay wants to be in on it. Mm. She wants to. And actually, you know what? That's a weight off my fucking shoulders.
Yeah.
Getting to like 11 o'clock at night and then getting a message from Jem saying, did you do anything from the elf? No. Did you? No. Shit.
I didn't do one the other day and I come down and I plonked him on the sofa and he's like, where's the elf? I was like, shit, I haven't done anything. And I quickly, literally, I saw him on the floor. I grabbed it and just, what did I do with him? I think I just, put him there reading one of his books. I was like, oh, look, he's reading one of your books. He's like, naughty elf.
No, you see, we kind of have a little bit of a win here.
Mm.
We don't have one of the scary fucking elves. What we have is an elf door. It turns up on the 1st of December with a little pile of chocolate and a note saying, here's my rent for the Christmas period. I'm going to be watching you for Santa and making sure you behave. But then every night, somewhere around the house, something would happen. So Kay's knickers one year all got scooped out of the drawer and hidden in her bedroom. So she went to get dressed for school in the morning. So I've got no knickers. I said, well, where are they? So she had to search her room to find them. Yeah. You know, it's just stupid things like that.
You haven't got the actual elf.
We haven't got the actual elf to bother with.
Yeah.
But then what we also were found doing, we were leaving her, not having to start leaving notes, which meant me and Jem had to start writing left-handed, so it didn't look like our handwriting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, it's such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I felt like I had to do it because I've got the three nieces and they do it. And I didn't want him to be like, well, why is the elf not coming to my house?
Yeah.
So, and he wants to take the elf everywhere. I'm like, no, it loses its magic. It's like, no, I don't actually care if he takes it. I just don't want to have to buy another one.
He's got a tag. He's not allowed to leave the house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We should put a little tag on his ankle.
Yeah.
Little flashing LED in it. So it's like, oh, he can't go from the house.
Because he'll just lose it. That's why. I don't want to have to buy another one. He'll lose it. That's the reason I won't let him leave it. I take out that.
So what I would say, get yourself to Poundland in Hemel.
Mm.
They've got a load of different costumes for them at the moment. That's like really easy days. Oh, look, he's got changed.
Yeah, the other day he was...
Leave shit stains in the back one. So it's like, you know, oh, look, he's pooed himself.
He's got one of those little ride-on cars, like a really small one that's like the Queen. So he was driving that and Bowser was on the back of it. And they were chasing after Mario, Luigi and Peach. Like he was being like, you know...
He was playing. Nice. Yeah. I like it. I like it.
That's the kind of stuff I would do. Because when he first got all those Mario toys, I set up a whole scenario of a big tall box of Bowser. This is not Christmas related. Bowser was on top and he had like a mini Mario in one hand, like he was holding him above, like he had won some battle, and all the other toys are all around on the floor. Like they're all going, no, Bowser.
Genius.
Yeah, I love doing stuff like that.
But I don't like the elf there. I don't mind it so much the way we do it because there is no, and I think he's an evil looking fucking thing.
Mm.
I hate him. I hate the design. I'd quite happily put a hammer to his head every day. You know, I'd go and buy 25 of them just to leave them mutilated in a different way every day.
That'd be a good advent. How did he die this year?
Yeah, maybe we do that. Social media every day for 25 days.
Next year's the murder.
The elf being murdered in various ways. He goes through a blender. He gets a hammer to the face. Yeah. He gets set on fire.
I'll be picking different ways of killing the elf out of the hat. And then
you could do it as a poll. How is he going to die tomorrow?
Yeah. That is TikTok.
It is. There you go. Ideas for next year.
Yep.
And we'll buy them in the sale when no one wants to have stock of them.
Yeah.
Nice. Right. That's happening. Any other Christmas traditions in your house?
Not.
That was very high.
We now do have a plate. My aunt gave us this plate for 3 years, and it's like a, it has like a shape of a carrot and then the shape of a mince pie.
We've got one of them. Leave it out for Santa.
Which I never put away last year, so that's been out for an entire year. You have to leave your decorations out, don't you?
We upset Jem last year. We've got this big
you and I
no me and me and Kay.
All right,
we've got a Santa squishamallow, and Kay wanted to keep him out, so we hid him on the top of her wardrobe so she could see him from bed. But unless you were looking up, you wouldn't see him. And I think it was April when Jem finally looked up and saw him. Why is he not in the loft with all the other Christmas stuff?
Yeah, we've got one. We've got a little bear I call Hannibal. And he's the same. So he's a little teddy bear. And he's, I call him Hannibal because he's wearing the skin of a reindeer.
What?
So you know you get the little teddy bears and they got little hoods and it's like a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I say that he's wearing that the skin of a reindeer that he skins, so I call him Hannibal. Well, I didn't put him away 1 year, and he's been out now for about 4 years, maybe. I got him a long time ago. We never put him away. I just took it. I just take his hood down, and now he's a little Christmas thing. And then it's Christmas. I put his little reindeer skin flap back over his head, and Hannibal's back.
Awesome. Now, we're not going to be honest, most of this Christmas stuff comes in the Advent episodes, which we will, they run through the 25th. So a couple of last things I want to talk about then. What are your thoughts on Christmas parties? Work Christmas parties.
You've got one this week and I've got one next week.
Yeah, I've got one tomorrow. And, you know, I honestly don't feel like I want to go, but I feel like I should go. And then... It always just seems that recently Christmas parties, and if anyone from my work listens and I get reported for this, I'm fucked really. But I'm kind of sick and tired of us being a Hertfordshire-based company, but the Christmas party always being put into central London.
Okay, I have the same problem. So
I just want to go somewhere that can have a nice meal, have some entertainment, have a bit of a dance and a bit of booze. And then go home. I don't want to have to travel into central London, which no doubt will mean it will be a bar, which means there's no actual food. It will be finger food.
Yeah.
So do you eat beforehand or do you eat afterwards? Mm-hmm. I'm not a boozy person. That's the big thing for me. I don't care about going to a bar and having a load of drink.
So all that. So that. I mean, my business is there's only two of us, but. The Christmas parties that we do.
I was going to say, I bet that's a banging party.
Yeah, a great party. or all the other trades. So we get like the Sparkies that we're very good friends with and a few other people that we're really good mates
with.
You do
a group one. Yeah, yeah, that's that we a nice do. Idea.
Some guys from our old firm and the guy does our CAD drawings. You know, his name's Brian. I love Brian. He's brilliant. Shout out to Brian. He'll never hear this.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian. The ringtone on his phone whenever I call him is that Willy Bum 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 Willy Bum Bum song.
Oh, that's who that one is.
And because my boss organises it and he lives in London, he would always do it in London. All the rest of us don't live in London. So it was always a bit like, oh, well, you can't complain because he's paying for everything.
Well, this is it. I kind of feel like I can't complain because... Everything's paid for. We can even claim our travel expense back.
Now, the thing is, I feel like you can because it's a corporation you're complaining at. I'm complaining specifically at the other person who's in the business. So we're all like, okay. And it wasn't until we for a little while we had another employee, and he was bringing it up, saying, "Why are we going to Leicester Square?" To that same Italian we went to twice before, and we had awful meal last time.
Oh,
why don't we go to Topgolf in Watford. Now, a really cool thing is we actually went with... You ever seen DIY SOS?
Yes.
You know the electrician on that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we know him because we did DIY SOS. So if anybody wants to see me on television, find the Welland Garden City one. I'm in it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that's where we met him. And he, believe it or not, completely coincidentally, lives on the road behind my electrician friend.
Not the one that went on Big Brother, the other electrician.
No, the guy who went on Big Brother was the host.
He was, no, the one that went on Big Brother was called Craig. He was the original Sparky for that, I think.
No, that was for, that wasn't DOSOS. That was Changing Rooms.
Oh, was it? Oh,
yeah, and
fine.
That was Handy Andy.
Oh, God, Handy Andy. Jesus.
Yeah, they're all coming up my brain now. So the DOSOS electrician, he lives, his garden almost backs onto my electrician friend. So they all stayed in touch, and he came to this Christmas party.
Nice.
That we did. Well, he come for a bit, and then he went. They all got very drunk.
celebrities for you.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, it was Top Golf, and it was brilliant, Top Golf in Watford, and it was fantastic. It was the best Christmas party we ever had. And that was the last one, because then COVID was the next one, and we haven't done anything since.
So this is the
first
one.
So this is the first out of the last 2 or 3 years since we've done one. We don't know what we're doing. He can't decide what he wants us all to do. But so
it's difficult literally when you're next not week paying for it, isn't it? That's the thing. And if it's one person paying for it, you kind of feel obligated if that's what they've chosen.
Well, him and I both like go-karting. We really enjoy go-karting. But he was saying to me, he really wants to do it. But he was like, the problem is the go-karting is 70 quid a head.
Yeah.
Whereas Top Golf is 70 quid a group. And he was like, you know, if I'm going to be picking financially, what's the right option for us to do? Obviously the Top Golf. And he goes, and we did really all love the Top Golf last time.
Which is fair enough. I agree.
Because it's just a bunch of, well, it's a bit sexist. It was a bunch of tradesman lads.
Yeah.
Getting very drunk playing golf. It was hilarious.
Whereas you can't get drunk on a go-kart.
You can't get drunk on a go-kart, no.
That's fair enough. Okay. Final thing I'm going to talk about then, Christmas-wise, before we talk about another thing, which is kind of Christmas-based.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas telly. What was your... I kind of feel like we are bringing up the next generation of children who aren't ever going to appreciate what Christmas TV was like.
They won't, because it's all streamed.
Exactly. It's all streamed. Now, I'm showing T as much Christmas stuff as I can on there, but there will never, ever fill the spot of the four Blue Peters leading up to Christmas.
Yeah.
And them setting fire to an orange covered in highly flammable tinsel with candles attached to it, thinking...
Chris Tingle, that was called.
Chris Tingle, yeah. So there you go. You've got Chris Tingle. They're doing it. They're encouraging children to how to make one.
Mm-hmm.
How many houses burned down because of Blue Peter? Because
we used to make them, because I went to a Church of England school. We used to make them. And it was an orange, one candle, and then you had cocktail sticks with jelly tots on the end of the cocktail sticks.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, how many houses burned down because of John Noakes and various other presenters lighting candles next to highly flammable tinsel?
I don't even know what it was for. I don't know what Chris Tingle is, and I supposedly celebrated it.
Nice. Well, there you go.
I have absolutely no concept of what the point of it is.
No, I don't. All I remember was it was the four episodes leading up to Christmas. They would light the candles because you always got more episodes of Blue Peter towards the Christmas period because then you got the totalizer come out and children everywhere would try and set up Christmas fairs at their schools and make money for their totalizer, which was always a cool thing. In fact, the best skip, and I won't fit it in here because actually it won't work on podcast.
What is a Christmas tree without a star to top it off? Well, this one has been lighting trees on Trafalgar Square for the past 10 years. I think it's time to put it in its rightful place. Okay, here goes.
I just dropped the star.
But I'll stick the link on social media so you can see. There is a modern Blue Peter clip. And by modern, it's probably still probably 15 odd years old, the new presenter was given the chance to put the star on top of the Christmas tree at Trafalgar Square.
Mm-hmm.
And he's up on the cherry picker.
Yeah.
And he drops it off the cherry picker.
Was
and
it
you
glass? Just,
you see his face and you see him pretty much mouth, fuck. And then it literally cuts. And he's back at the top, and they've used sellotape to fix the star, finally puts it on top of the tree. In fact, I'll tell you what he does. He puts it on the top of the tree. I can picture it now. He puts it on there, and you know, it's a threaded thing he's putting on.
Yeah, yeah.
And he puts it on at a slight angle, and he gives it that twist, and as it's on at a slight angle, he just twists and then just goes, and off it goes.
Oh, no.
And the look on his face is absolutely priceless. But that would then end up, when we were younger, on It'll Be All Right on Its Night, which always had a Christmas one.
Yeah.
And then you had all the TV shows would look Christmassy, like Big Break, as much as Jim Davison's a cunt. Big Break used to be a great show, and it looked Christmas. They always used to be dressed up in panto clothes. Then there was Christmas Gladiators. There's just so much Christmas TV that you could enjoy. I mean, as stupid as it sounds, you knew Christmas was coming, to be honest. We were saying about how we'd cancel in October, but if DFS had anything about it, they'd be saying, buy your sofa now in August for delivery in time for Christmas.
That's literally what they do, because I've done that. But it hasn't arrived yet. That could be, expect that for the next. I've had no notifications of when it's coming. It's meant to be before December.
Oh my
before,
God.
Before Christmas. So
genius.
Stay tuned for the Christmas episode. But has Rob got his sofa?
Christmas adverts. I haven't watched any of the Christmas adverts. I normally dig them out on YouTube now to see what they are.
Yeah.
But Tesco, John Lewis, all the big companies and their TV adverts, I haven't watched in years because I haven't got terrestrial TV.
Yeah,
and that was a big part of Christmas.
You want to see a Christmas advert, you've got to go and look for it yourself. Who looks for adverts? I spend my whole life trying to avoid adverts.
But good old TikTok brings up old 1980s and 1990s adverts. Like, Curry's this Christmas, Dixon's this Christmas, Toys R Us. And just watching them thinking, actually, that was a huge part of Christmas for me, seeing those adverts, because they made me feel Christmassy, because they were really nice. Even the Boots one, they did. There was an animated Boots one. There was the Lure Pack Man.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know exactly where to go to with it. That was Christmas TV as well. They were all part of it.
Yeah.
And then Christmas specials and stuff. You just don't get any of it now. It's basically films and streaming services. I don't think our kids are ever going to fully appreciate what Christmas TV could actually be.
I don't think that T is going to even know what an advert is, because he only watched streamed stuff. And I, at the moment, am paying for premium on YouTube.
Yeah.
So he has no interaction with adverts.
No, and it's pretty much the same with K, actually. And T, all of our subscription services we've got, we're paying for the one that doesn't include ads. So Netflix, I know they've rolled out ads. We're paying for the next one up so we don't have it. Disney Plus is now advertised. We pay for the next one up so we don't have the ads on there. We've got YouTube Premium. ITVX, we pay for the premium one because I wanted to watch Grange Hill and all the BritBox stuff on there, so we don't get adverts on that. So yeah, they're growing up in the world that we would have loved during the summer, but it does take away the bit of the Christmas magic. I got a lot of the Christmas magic from those old adverts as well as the shows.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one of the things that's making me feel Christmassy the most, going back and watching the old shows. Things like the Only Fools and Horses we were joking about earlier, the Only Fools and Horses Christmas specials.
Is the Christmas special the one with the chandelier? Is that a Christmas special?
No, that was... they even said the bloody name of that episode in the Ashens and Nerd Cubed.
Because
the Christmas special one, I think that's the Batman one.
It is the Batman one. Everyone must know the trivia about the chandelier one, that they could only do one take.
Yeah, one take and that was it.
Because you see them laugh. Yeah, pretty often, yeah. Better than the advent calendar, I imagine.
Yeah, I agree. But final thing then, before we end up going too long on this, Christmas bonuses. God knows if I get one this year. Our company kind of plays it fast and loose with it. No doubt something will come through. You've had yours and you've spent yours.
I spent it. So
what did you
historically,
buy?
Historically, my boss is very generous with Christmas bonuses. I've you know, to the point where, like, I've got an Artisan soundbar, which is a very expensive, you need an amplifier, but a beautiful soundbar that lives under your telly with a custom-sized grill. And we happen to be very friendly with the people that make the custom grills, so whenever I need a new one, they're really good at changing them.
Nice.
Our first 4K television was a gift at Christmas from him.
Damn. Okay. Yeah,
so the one that's in my games room, which people will see eventually when we get round to doing some stuff, that TV was a gift, like a Christmas bonus gift. And he gave me a lot of cash this year. Now, this is the first Christmas
that you paid tax on, of course.
Yeah, whatever. So, I've worked with him for 10 years.
Yeah.
But the last 4 years, there hasn't been a Christmas. He hasn't done it.
Because
of COVID and just our industry hasn't been. It's our industry itself didn't do very well during COVID. So there wasn't a lot of money around. This year, he must feel a bit flush because I did get one. And it was enough money. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it. I've been saving up for months.
You've been saving for the Quest 3.
Because I missed out on the Quest 2. I really would like to have had one. And I just didn't. I think I said in the podcast I didn't because they put the price up. The day I went to buy it, they put the price up.
And yeah, you lost the pack in game. You didn't get Resident Evil.
It went up by 100
And you didn't get the other game with it. And then it went up by,
It went up by £100 and my nose went out of joint. Why would I pay for something more now that was 100p less the day before?
Well, you were lucky because literally a month later they said the Quest 3 is coming.
And then I thought.
And they dropped the hint that there's going to be a Ghostbusters game, which I can't wait to see.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's out yet.
I don't think it's out yet.
So, I'd been saving up for the Quest 3, and I was going to have enough to get it. I think in the end of January, I would have had enough.
I was going to say, I thought you said January or February.
It was January or February. He gave me a bonus, and it was basically the exact amount I needed to buy outright. So, I've still got all my money saved.
Nice.
So he gave me, £500, which is a massive amount of money. Now, were I an adult, I would have put that to one side and given it to the people doing my roof to help pay for the roof.
Yes.
But I'd already had the conversation with Rana because she's potentially getting a bonus as well. And I said, look, you spend that on yourself. It's for you.
Well,
and
it should be.
Yeah.
Unless you're literally living paycheck to paycheck. If you ever get a Christmas bonus, I genuinely think it should go to the person being awarded the bonus because it's the work you're doing.
Yeah.
And the idea is it is meant to be a bonus for you to do something with that you want to do.
Well, that's the arguments I was saying to her before I even knew I was going to get one.
Yeah.
Because the day he told me I was getting one, I got the money the next day. So it was like, you know, I didn't have time to concoct some story that I wanted to spend my money and make her spend it.
So your early Christmas present then is the Quest 3?
Yeah, and I've played a few games. So I was pretty sure I was going to be getting motion sick because I'd spoke to you before about the PSVR.
Yeah.
And I was getting a bit motion sick. And I kind of put that down to just the low quality of the clarity of the image.
Yes, I had big issues with the PSVR. I didn't get them with the lenses, and if I moved my head even slightly, or even the first Quest, anything that required me to do moving, I've got the first Vader story, yeah. And at the very beginning, it expects you to climb up a ladder. Oh, I felt so sick.
Now, let me tell you, so as of recording this, I got it yesterday morning. So I played a little bit yesterday in the afternoon and then in the evening I played a very small amount. And then today, before I came out, I played a small amount. Now, yesterday afternoon, I played a game called, I think it's called Swords and Sorcery or Blades and Sorcery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I nearly fell over.
Of course.
Because I walked my character to the edge of a cliff by the sea and I looked down and I almost fell over. Because you can walk around with a stick, and I kind of think I nudged the stick while looking down, and I kind of toppled, which that really made me feel very sick. But what that game has also done to me, it's unlocked something in me that I didn't know was in me. There was a violence in me that I didn't know I had. So Sword and Sorcery is, I think it's still in beta,
You can decapitate people. You can do pretty much anything,
yeah, you
can't
just,
you?
You could just set it so these waves of enemies come at you. They do magic. They have swords, shields, you know, spears, whatever. And you have the same. And you can kind of pick them up and you have sword fights. Now, what happened to me, I was fighting.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what's hitting me? I turned around and somebody this whole time had been hitting me in the back. Right? And it'd been annoying me. And I literally grabbed them by the throat. And then just started hammering my axe into their skull while holding them by the throat. And I was like, die, die, die. And I was thinking, what am I doing?
Wait until you realise you can use them as the weapon.
Well,
You can start hitting people with someone else.
So, I was surprised at how much violent it was, because I was like, this is like... And then I turned into John Wick at that point. And I was just like, strangle, strangle, right. Crunch, strangle, crunch.
You've got to have a go at Super Hot VR. It's not as in-depth as that.
I played it on the PlayStation VR, Super Hot VR. Yeah.
It's really good.
It's super good. I think it was PSVR. Maybe it was when I borrowed Mark's Quest 2 for a day. I might have played it. I have, yeah. All right, that's the next one I'm going to get, I think.
And Beat Saber.
I got Beat Saber.
It's good exercise, that one. I sit there, I stand there sweating, and I've looked back at the security footage and thinking, I'm never sharing this because I look like a right lemon, but it's good.
I did get quite motion sick from that Sword and Sorcery.
Yeah.
And it's, I feel like even now it's not left me. Like, because I then went and did two songs on Beat Saber after having a long break. And I could feel it starting coming back.
Yeah.
And then today, I've only played, again, two songs on Beat Saber. I did a medium, then a hard, or an easy, then medium. I stepped it up. And when I went to the harder difficulty and the more things going, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this feeling's coming back.
Now, that's interesting because I had it with the Quest 1 and the PSVR, but I don't get it with the Quest 2 at all.
Mm.
But apparently the Quest 3 has different lenses.
Maybe.
So I'd be interested to see if you get the feeling on my Quest 2.
Mm.
Versus the Quest 3, because it might be that if you don't, I'm probably not going to invest in a Quest 3 because I've enjoyed using the Quest 2 and I've not felt motion sick with it at all.
I'm sure that as I play little bits, you said to me I should play a little bit, get used to it, come back the next day. I need to do that because I think that, I'm getting a bit sick. Whereas I could play the PSVR when I was doing Ace Combat on the PSVR, because I love fighter games the motion sick was relevant to the situation. I wasn't just getting motion sick for being in VR. I was getting a bit motion sick because I thought this was so brilliant. I'm doing loops and I'm looking around. I'm like, oh my god, I feel like I'm here. So I hope there's something like that on the Quest 3, something like Ace Combat. If anyone knows, tell me, because I'd like to get it, because I'm well up for that. I love that stuff.
We shall do some digging.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything else vaguely festive before we move to the outro? Because I've just realised we're pretty much now at a normal length of episode.
Oh, it was meant to be quick. Yeah, sorry, everyone. Well, not sorry. You probably want... I don't know what I'm talking about.
Who
knows?
What
am I saying? Sorry. Gonna spend this Christmas, who you got in mind this year? Christmas is a gift that moves. Christmas starts right here. All the gifts you know they'll love, gifts that show you care. Gifts for girls and gifts for boys, it's Woolworths first for games and toys. Christmas is a gift that Woolworths gives that bring good cheer. Famous names in every range, so many gift ideas. Gifts of love and gifts of treasure, gifts of joy, I get so much pleasure.
Thank you very much for listening to another episode of...
Thank you.
The Channel 84 Variety Show. I nearly forgot what we were called. Brilliant. Well done, me. If you want to follow us on social media, come find us on Discord or go to channel84.co.uk and all our links are there. We're on Twitter, Threads, TikTok, Insta, Blue Sky, Discord, Instagram, Facebook. We're on all of them. and our links are all on channel84.co.uk, which is the easiest way to find us. The podcast itself, I know you're listening to it now, but just in case you didn't know, we're also on YouTube Music now, and we're basically everywhere you can get a podcast from now. We're on Spotify all the way through to YouTube, so we're pretty much everywhere. So feel free to listen to us on whatever is best. If you'd like to email the show, you can email podcasts, that's plural, at channel84.co.uk. Or if you want to email us individually, TJ or Rob at channel84.co.uk, and that will get to either one of us. So TJ for me, Rob for Rob. Otherwise, like I said, thank you very much for listening. Untitled Trek Show is next week.
Yep.
And then we have our super cool, really exciting, big Christmas special.
Which I'm full of secrets that TJ's really anxious about.
I am genuinely very anxious about it. Will we find out if Rob draws on Do You Remember? Will we go for an interview and it will go well and we'll keep the episode to a relatively decent length for once? Who knows? I'm genuinely excited for it. So for the main episode, and if you don't listen to the Star Trek one, we'll see you in 2 weeks. If you listen to the Star Trek one,
less than 2 weeks.
We'll see you next week. Well, yes, less than 2 weeks.
Just under.
Otherwise, yeah, we'll see you next week for the Untitled Trek Show. Take it easy.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Channel 84 Variety Show. This station is now shutting down and will be back in 2 weeks. Excelsior.
Francis the Firefly. In the kingdom of the insects, all creatures have a special gift from Mother Nature. Some have been given the gift of flight, some the gift of super strength, and others the gift of beauty. So the insects, being a friendly and helpful bunch, agreed long ago that they would all work together and build a wonderful land where they could all live happily. They decided that the ants would build the houses, the busy bees would make lots of honey, and the spiders would spin silky, silvery webs to decorate the land and make it look beautiful. Now, the fireflies were given a very special job to do. As you know, the insects love the nighttime. But because it's very dark, they find it hard to see where they're going. So it was agreed that the fireflies, with their glowing tail torches, would act as tiny rays of sunlight and brighten the evening sky so everyone else could see what they were doing. At the time of our story, Frances the Firefly was only young and not yet able to make her tail glow brightly like the older fireflies. She would practice all the time, flapping her wings and trying very, very hard, but still her tail only shone dimly. And this made her feel very sad. All the other insects told Frances that one day she'd be able to join in with the grown-ups, but Frances didn't want to wait. One evening, Frances was sitting on a twig, feeling very sorry for herself, when Cocky Roach appeared. Cocky was a very naughty young cockroach, always in trouble. He knew why Frances was upset and thought he would trick her into joining him in one of his rotten games.
"Come with me, Frances," he said. "I'll show you how to light up the night."
Frances couldn't resist. Cocky took Frances back to his hiding place and pulled back a leaf. There, to her surprise, was a box of matches.
"My mummy left these on the table at home last week and still hasn't noticed they're missing. With these, you can really burn brightly."
Frances had been told many times how dangerous matches could be, but Cocky had her under his spell. She wanted so much to be like the grown-up fireflies. She took a match from the box and, with Cocky's help, lit it. The flame burned brightly and a flickering glow shone all around her. Delighted with her newly found torch, she took to the sky.
"Have fun, Frances," Cocky yelled. "How grown-up you look with your lovely torch."
And with that, Cocky ran to another hiding place where he could secretly watch his plan take shape. Up and up Frances flew. Brighter and brighter the match burned.
"Just wait till everyone sees what I can do,"
she thought. But she didn't notice the flame burning larger and larger until, just as she was above the center of the insect forest, it burnt her wings. The pain was so bad that Frances instantly dropped the match from her grasp and it fell to the ground. It landed on a pile of twigs that the ants had gathered, and of course, they started to burn. It was only a matter of minutes before the whole forest was burning. All the good work that the insects had done was ruined. The houses were destroyed, the honey factory in cinders, and even worse, many insects were very badly burned. The next morning, when the fire had finally been put out, the insects held an emergency meeting. King Chrysalis, a very grand butterfly who ruled the insect kingdom, rose up to speak. Frances, her wings all black and burned, sat below, feeling very ashamed and still in a lot of pain. The king asked the insects to rebuild their land and make it beautiful again. It was decided that Frances had learned her lesson and that she should not be punished further. But she knew that it would be a long time before she'd be able to fly again. I hope now, King Chrysalis said to Frances, that you realize how dangerous fire can be. Indeed, she did. In time, Frances helped the rest of her friends to rebuild their kingdom. She was also given her own job to do. Every now and then, she would gather up all the younger insects and tell them her story. They would sit and listen to the tale and understand why they should never play with matches. And as for Cocky Roach, he was sent away from the insect kingdom forever, and even today can sometimes be found scuttling amongst the litter bins and cupboards in towns and villages, looking for something to eat. Remember, never play with matches.